If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Be cool to everybody. Take time to invest in every relationship because you never know which one's going to pan out in a 5 or 10 year window. And I wish somebody had taken me aside when I was younger and had said, you know, like you hear, start investing when you're young. You hear that all the time. The sooner you invest, the better. But I wish somebody had taken me aside and said, hey, that doesn't just apply to money. That's also social capital.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Anthony Vecino is a serial entrepreneur who has helped build multiple million-dollar companies from the ground up by creating efficient systems that scale, utilizing value-based content marketing strategies, and always focusing on providing exceptional end-user experiences. He is a best-selling author, investor, and small business owner who successfully managed his own personal portfolio of multifamily assets spread across the country before joining forces with Dan Kruger in 2019 to create Invictus Capital. Hey, Anthony, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, man. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. No, I'm grateful that you've come on today. You know, the same questions I ask everybody who comes on. It's the basic flow of the show. You know, where'd you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
I dig it. So Where did I start? Man, to go back, like real estate's played a part in my life at multiple different junctures. I didn't recognize it at the time though. So one of those was in college. I was doing fix and flips with my partner, with my roommate and his dad at the time. And all I remember out of that was just, man, I hate construction. Like I am not good with my hands. I don't like building stuff. Like I tell people I can swing the hammer, but I can't hit the nail. I don't like to do that. And so it was like another decade until real estate crossed my path again. And this time there was a buddy comes to me and says, hey, do you want to buy these quads? I was like, not really, but I'll give you money and you go do it. And so he did that. For whatever reason at the time, it just wasn't interesting to me. And then the bug finally bit in maybe 2017. This is when I started taking it seriously. And the story I tell people is I was driving into downtown Minneapolis, just looking at the skyline, and I struck with the question, what does it take to buy a skyscraper?
Right.
And like, I have no interest in buying a skyscraper, but the question was interesting. And it was in digging into that to try to answer that question that led me into multifamily and just how cool that sector is. And so I started buying up little things. I wanted to learn how to run these little businesses. And so I started with triplexes and quads. And then I started scaling from there and going bigger and bigger. And then in 2019, I joined with my now partner, Dan Kruger, to form Invictus Capital. And now we syndicate. We did two syndications in 2020. And we still do joint ventures. We still use syndication. It's like just having different tools in the toolbox, but that's kind of what we're using right now. So that's my story.
Right. No, that's really cool. I love how clean that is. I'm sure there's a lot more to it than,
you know, it gets muddy at places.
right. No, of course it does. I'm curious, when did you leave your full-time job then?
Well, that's the interesting thing, man, as I've always been a really bad employee. So coming out of college, I knew I was never going to be able to work for somebody else because I'm the guy that figures out how to get the job done in half the time and then I coast the other time. And that's not for me because my personality is I'm driven. I like to achieve. I like to be challenged. And so that was never going to work. So I immediately out of college went off and started rock climbing professionally. I started writing science fiction and fantasy novels, published 12 of those, and then started building businesses. So I started a window washing company, started a manufacturing company, and I still have those, but it was real estate that's really caught my interest in the last, I'd say, four years or so. You know, I never had a job that I had to think about, how do I get out of this? Because from the very beginning, I knew like any job I was going into, it was always going to be temporary. Like whether I was just going to get burnt out and quit or I was going to get fired.
Right. There's something to being self-aware in that department. Yeah, I'm with you. I'd make a terrible employee. hate to say it, but it's just the reality of it. You're right. You're either going to burn out or you're going to get fired. So
yeah, you got to own your truth, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're going to hate me in about a month. So yeah. Let's just not start. Okay. So you started buying smaller units. And then as you did that and you said, you know, the question, I love the question, what's it take to buy a skyscraper? Because somebody somewhere owns that skyscraper. And someone has answered that question. So how did you then make the transition from smaller units? And at what point did you say, all right, so I'm buying these quadplexes or whatever it was you were buying. Now let's go buy an apartment complex.
Yeah. So it's all about the education. First of all, you go out there, you read everything, you consume everything, podcasts, videos, whatever. There's a ton of information. So, you know, lack of education is no excuse. At some point, you got to start taking the action. And for me, the action was, you know, I like to take these really big goals. Like, let's say buying a skyscraper was the goal. So let's work backwards from that and say, what's the next step an idiot like me needs to take right now to make myself, put myself in a position that in 40, 50 years, I could be that guy, right? And so let's work all the way back, take that next logical step. And for me, that was, let's start with the really small stuff. But what I quickly learned in that process was, okay, there's things about this I really don't like with the small properties. And that really revolved around the valuation process. So I bought my very first, I would say, actively managed property. It was a triplex. I bought it for $246,000. 9 months later, had it reappraised for $375,000. So in 9 months, it appreciated $125,000. And I did nothing to that property. I got better tenants in there, but I didn't improve it. I didn't make it better. And that didn't sit well with me. Like, that idea that the property just appreciated because the other properties in the area, the comparables, were selling for more. I hated that. So I was like, well, okay, I want to be rewarded for the work I put in. And that was then, okay, we need to make the jump sooner than later to the bigger stuff, because then it's based off of the valuation. And those are levers that I can control, but between the revenue and the expenses, I can control that. And so the next jump then was really rolling the refinances from those smaller properties into the bigger properties. And once then we got that snowball going, then you start getting attracted, questions from friends and family and people around you that are like, I see what you're doing over there. Can I get involved?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. So we started bringing on JV partners at that point to start like growing a little bit larger and a little bit larger, still wanting to stay within just like three steps of our comfort zone. Like, you never want to step too far outside of it and get murdered, especially when you're dealing with other people's money. Right. And so we were like, let's look, grow slowly, make sure we understand this. And then once we started becoming really comfortable, then we said, okay, now we can open this up to passive investors. And that's when we started syndicating and started taking on the larger properties.
Right. What were some of the either things that took more time than you anticipated and or mistakes you made early on in that transition?
I think in the transition, the biggest mistake I made was when in partnership. And, you know, in business, it's tough. If you want to go far, you go as a group. If you want to go fast, you go alone.
Right.
And, you know, I made a bad decision very early on, my very first business partner in real estate. It was my best friend. We were going to do this together.
Sure.
And I should have known this was always a questionable, dubious proposition, because I have other businesses and other partners, and I know how important it is to get that piece correct from the beginning. And I knew it wasn't right. I knew it wasn't right from the very beginning, but he was a good friend. I wanted to make it work. But the problem was our skill sets were the same. We had the same strengths, same weaknesses, and no accountability to picking up the bucket that nobody wanted to pick up.
Right.
And so that's not a good relationship. That's not a good partnership. And we got pretty far down the track. You know, we didn't actually acquire our first property. We got really close up to the point where we were about to, almost at the closing table before we pulled out of the deal. Because I pulled out and I said, no, this isn't going to work. Like, this is a bad idea. We're going to ruin our relationship. And so I let that go too long. I let it go too far before being like truthful with myself and my partner and saying, like, listen, like, I love you dearly, and I value the friendship more than the deal. And we're going to have to pull this plug because it's not going to work out. And if it doesn't feel right from the beginning, like, things that start hard, they end hard. It's just truth. Like, and so you got to be honest with yourself. If you're getting into something that it doesn't feel right, back out.
Right. That's interesting. What would you say? I mean, obviously you said, you know, obviously that you guys had some of the same skill sets. That is, and I've heard that over and over, like, that's just a red flag, you know, because you're going to have, you need somebody that complements what you do. But what were some of the other red flags that kind of came up that eventually just made you, I mean, that's a big deal. Like, the doer in us doesn't really like quitting almost at the finish line. So what were some of the things you said that finally brought you to the conclusion of, nah, we're out, this is it, we're not doing this?
You know, there was just so much tension around the communication. I think for a partnership to really work, you have to be at a place where you can be honest with each other, take that feedback and the criticism and saying, hey, I dropped this ball, I'm doing badly here. Hey, you're also not doing great here. So, like, we need to be able to have that conversation. And that's hard when you're so close and emotionally tied to another person. Every conversation brings a lot of emotion and past history out. You know, my partner, Dan, now, we have very similar personalities, very different skill sets, and we don't have all the history of past friendship kind of, you know, blocking or kind of obfuscating our relationship now. So we can talk and say, hey, I notice you're weak here, I'm weak here, what can we do about that? And people don't take it personally. And so I think that was, you know, one of the things, like, you have to be able to communicate, because without that, everything falls apart.
Right. Cool. No, that's great. That's great advice. So now then you fast forward and you obviously have your partner that you work with now. How did that relationship come about, and kind of how did you vet that?
That one came about through a networking event up here in the Twin Cities. What's funny is I go into every networking event. I'm very introverted. I go into each one and I just set one goal for myself. And that goal was, I'm going to meet one person. It was a 3-day networking event. My only goal was meet one person. That's like, I'm the guy who in the past would drive across town to a networking event, get to the parking lot, turn around and go home. Like I went, right? Like technically went. And so I went to this event and I'm like, one person, that's all I got to do. So I go in the main room and I find the only empty table and I go and sit at it. Every other table has people, but I find the one empty one because nice. I got to dip your toes in. And then Dan comes in and he looks around and he sees one guy sitting at one table. And he goes, okay, I'll sit there. So he sits next to me and he's the first guy I talked to at this entire event. And at this point, remember, my goal going into this wasn't to find a partner. It was just to meet one person. That was it. Just talk to one person.
Right.
And so we start talking. We, you know, get to know each other, realize, hey, there's a lot of, like, this guy's cool. I like this guy. So we get lunch. We stay in touch for the next 3 or 4 months. And at no point were we thinking of a partnership. We were just two real estate people, two business guys that liked hanging out and talking and, you know, helping out where we could. And it wasn't until about 4 months later that we started to look at it and say, hey, man, like, we should work together. Like, you have all the same strengths, or the strengths that complement my weaknesses and vice versa. And we can go so much faster together. And that's when we started working together. And, you know, a month later, we put a deal under contract, closed it up. And, you know, it's been smooth sailing ever since. And it's because I think a lot of it is that the relationship just evolved organically. It wasn't like going to the bar with the intention of finding a wife. That's a really hard strategy, right? Like, if you go up to the first woman, you're like, I'm looking for a wife, doesn't work so good. You just have to go up and, like, you know, find somebody that you like hanging out with and then see where it goes and keep your head on a swivel that, like, maybe there's a good relationship opportunity here.
Right. No, that's super cool. What was the first asset you guys closed?
So yeah, we syndicated our first syndication in January 2020, and that was a 32 unit here in St. Paul. And so it was a really big value add deal, had a lot of meat on the bone, and it revolved around re-tenanting the asset. So getting all the old tenants out, doing some light renovations, getting new tenants in. And that was a great deal for us. It's actually killing it right now. But that was also very scary going into COVID, when suddenly there's an eviction moratorium. And it's like, wait a minute, maybe we can't get these tenants out. That's going to be a little bit more difficult, but we're vertically integrated. So we do the property management in-house. And so that gave us a big leg up in terms of being able to work directly with tenants to find solutions. And as a result, we've had very little issues with vacancy, very little issues with collections, and everything's been very smooth sailing. But what it led to then is, in the latter half of 2020, was, hey, let's pivot our business plan right now, because the market has shifted. The playing field is different. Let's bring out a different playbook. So before, it was heavy value add, where we go in there, deploy a lot of capex, right? Now it was, okay, let's find something that's a little bit more stabilized with a good tenant base, doesn't require a ton of capex from day one, but that we're getting at a good basis and that has under market rents. And by that, then we have the option. If we want to, we can go in there and drive up rents by deploying capital. Or if 2021 sucks, then we can just sit on our hands, sit on our capital, and let the property keep performing because it's cash flowing from day one. Now, when you say that, it's like, well, yeah, that sounds like a unicorn deal. Like, everybody wants that.
Right, sure.
Where do you find that then? So that one came, you know, like the deal that we closed in November, that's all about relationships with sellers. And so that seller, old guy who's been operating in the Twin Cities for decades, he owns 1,300 units, and he's just looking to clear them out over the next couple of years. He doesn't want a headache. He just wants nice, smooth, easy transactions. And so he comes in, he prices them very nicely for us off market. We come in, say, we're not going to cause you any headaches. These things are well-maintained, have great tenants and great in a great neighborhood. And so it's like really easy, you know, transition, but it all goes back to, like, how do you form those relationships? And that's the tricky bit.
Right, right. Okay. So how do you form those relationships?
Everything that happens, I think, in business or real estate and life in general, kind of like feels almost serendipitous when you look back on it. You're like, man, I just was in the right place at the right time, got really lucky. It's like the idea that, like, behind every overnight success, there's 10 years of work. You look at the one instance of, like, they got lucky, but honestly, they put themselves in a good position. And so this one came about because, let's rewind a couple of years. Dan, he's a fitness junkie. He's a nutrition coach, and he was just working here in the Twin Cities, had a nutrition business. And he was working with this Orthodox Jewish community that has a hard time meeting their nutritional requirements in a healthy way while also maintaining kosher standards. And so he took on that challenge and said, I can do this. And so he ingratiated himself to this community. Well, one guy in particular that he was working with eventually went on to get into real estate. At the time, he wasn't. He gets into real estate, becomes a broker in the multifamily, and suddenly, a couple years later, you fast forward, he's now like the third in the top three brokers in the Twin Cities in terms of transaction volume for multifamily properties. And so we cross paths with him again, and we have, you know, Dan's maintained a good relationship with him over the years and say, hey, this is what we're looking for. He's like, actually, I have something perfect for you. And he goes to the seller and he pitches us to him and says, these are the guys that you want to work with because Dan, he's a good guy. And so the short part of that long story is like, be cool to everybody. Take time to invest in every relationship because you never know which one's going to pan out in a 5 or 10 year window. And I wish somebody had taken me aside when I was younger and had said, you know, like you hear, start investing when you're young. You hear that all the time. The sooner you invest, the better. But I wish somebody had taken me aside and said, hey, that doesn't just apply to money. That's also social capital. Invest in the people around you. Take more interest in their lives, be more present, and do better about staying relevant in their lives. Because in a 10, 15, 30 year window, it's those relationships that you have the deepest roots with that are going to pay the biggest fruits in the end.
Right. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. Anthony, I wish we had more time to carry on because I've got lots more questions I want to ask you. I'll circle back and do this again.
Yeah, man.
Let's jump into the final four here if we can. If you were to distill everything you know down to one piece of advice and you're giving it to an aspiring investor, what would that one piece of advice be?
We'll take it back and say play long-term games with long-term people. You know, it's a long game.
Love that. What's one thing you're currently doing to stay on top of your game?
I read a lot. Last year I read 61 books. I just read a ton. I don't think you can ever stop learning. So that's my way of getting information into my brain. Maybe your way is videos or podcasts. We've got to figure out a way to keep learning.
Right. 61 books. That's impressive. That's impressive. How did you select the 61 titles?
So that was a good mix of looking at some people that I hold in high esteem, like Naval Ravikant, who's this angel investor, Bill Gates, and looking at their reading list and saying what of their reading list applies to me or is interesting to me. And I take a lot from that. And then I also look at what are the books that I've read in the past that had an impact on me? And I reread those because I think it's important to go deep and wide simultaneously.
Right.
And I try to read as many old things as possible, like really old, like the Bible, the Quran, like really old things that have withstood the test of time because there's a reason they're still around. There's a reason they're still relevant.
Right, right. Awesome. When it comes to giving back, what's one thing you're doing to make the world a better place?
I am a firm believer that you can't help anybody out of the well until you're firmly rooted yourself. And so just for me, it's about every day trying to wake up and be the best version of myself and like continuing to work on that so that I can be a strong leader in my community or my family and my relationships. And it opens the door for people around you when they see you trying to make your life better and trying to like improve yourself, to opens the door for them to say, I can do this too. And I think the best thing any of us can do for another person is just to lead by example of showing like, this is me on my path, my journey. How can I help you join me on that journey? And we can do it together.
Right. That's awesome. Anthony, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah. Check us out at InvictusMultifamily.com or we have a podcast called Multifamily Investing Made Simple. So check that out.
Awesome. Anthony, thanks for your time today. Certainly appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.